And then again, we've all had to figure out, how do you manage a team remotely? How do you deal with a staff? I have a small staff. My husband and I are law partners. I'm on one end of the office. He's on the other. We don't have any staff in the office. Everybody is working remotely. And so, you know, we had to figure out a way, because nobody had ever worked remotely from our office, how to control the workflow, how to keep track of what everyone was doing. And I don't know how you guys did it, Jackie. But I know for us, it was hard to get used to getting everybody kind of in a rhythm.
Yeah, it was. It takes regular check-ins. But I one piece of advice to bosses and supervisors is to have some empathy, though, on what other people are going through, because it may not be the same thing. We're all experiencing this differently. My only child is grown and I'm single and I live with one dog. And so I don't have the strains of educating children, of having maybe two people competing for workspace at a house. So there are a lot of considerations that I don't have that I try not to sweat the small stuff when it comes to my staff and just understand what the individual challenges that the staff is facing.
And I think that was the same. That was the same for me. I mean, most of my staff has young children and they've had to deal with this idea of homeschooling and just paying attention to, you know, making sure that they're getting their work done. I have a teenager she's very independent. I have one in college. So that part of it was not that difficult for me as a mom. I didn't have to sit down next to someone and make sure they were doing their assignments. And so, again, I do believe, you know, the empathy is important. Checking in on your people, having regular check-ins, giving them expectations. It's hard to get 8 hours out of any employee when they're working from home, when there's 100 other things happening, because you're not just you're not just doing your regular work. You're also dealing with your children, or you might be dealing with a parent. There's just so many different factors that come into play. So we have to be understanding. We have to be flexible. But everybody still needs to understand that they're accountable. And when your team is in a good place, I think mentally, as bosses, as entrepreneurs, as business owners, it also makes us feel better about being able to handle the remote work. I mean, we have all had this incredible drop in business, because the bottom line is we're in the people business. And we've had to adjust, and our clients have had to adjust. And many of our clients might not have technology. I find that most of my clients are more familiar with an application, a platform like WhatsApp, than they would be.
Oh, anything you can do on your phone.
Right. Right. Anything that you can do on your phone. And it's hard to make people understand, no, you can't come into the office to drop off, you know, to sit down with the attorney and talk to the attorney. You can drop off documents, but you can't really come inside. And you know, early on, you could not get any PPE. You could not find a mask if your life depended on it. It was very difficult to find any type of just normal protection. Now, once they said, okay, if you wear a mask, it doesn't have to be, you know, an N95 mask, there's, you know, some differences, then it got a little bit easier.
We have clients who don't have internet service at home. And so the technology issues of needing to get documents signed, where you're preparing something on WhatsApp, or by phone, but a simple thing of, okay, we have this affidavit ready or this application ready. You know, our clients don't have printers at home. So it is not this, I'm going to email this to you so you can sign it and print it out. And so, you know, we really had to think through, how are we going to do things, especially on a deadline. And, you know, there was a lot of flexibility, and there's this is the best thing to do, and this is what we're going to do in crisis. And so, I mean, honestly, I have, and our amazing paralegal have made lots of house calls since March, where we literally show up drop an envelope in a client's mailbox for them to sign, or knock on the door, step back from the porch, they sign something, and we take it back. And that's, I mean, I talk about boundaries and all this stuff a lot, but at the end of the day, we need to get the work done. And I'm also very mindful of, you know, I'm not going to waste my time trying to make something happen when my clients don't have the resources to do it. And relatively speaking, it's easier for me to make those efforts and go out to do that. So we were doing all kinds of things that were not normal.
Well, and you know what instantly happens is, number one, people lose their jobs because everything is shut down. And while a lot of our clients end up being, you know, from that demographic that becomes an essential worker that's exposed all the time, or that was exposed, is still exposed all the time, you have to take all those things in consideration. And somebody put in a question in the chat that said, you know, can a temporary food benefit for children be used against someone as a public charge? Well, you know, those were the questions that instantly came to all of our heads, like, okay, we need answers because our clients need answers. And there has been really, I mean, there has been no clear guidance. Realistically, we have made the assessment that any benefits under the pandemic would not go through public charge. But the truth is, we don't really know how all of this is going to play out.